My name is Jason Gann.
This lesson is going to be about the love of God, the greatest love. The start is wondering, what's God like? How can I please God? There is a God, and that He needs to be obeyed and worshipped. I know that it is very important, and so for us to know that God loves us and how He loves us, we should always keep in remembrance about the love of the one and only God, because our God is a loving God. We should never take for granted the love that He has exhibited toward us and the love that He continues to exhibit toward us. Let's learn more about the greatest love that we will ever know, the love of God. God loves us all. And if someone should say that God does not love them, I want you to prove that. Prove that God doesn't love you. You have no proof of that because God does love you. Often people will question things when things do not go as people sometimes think they should. We need to never question God. God is our Creator. He knows what is best for us. All Christians should remember that when persecutions arise, that we should glorify God because we are able to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter 4:16. There we read, "Yet if any man shall suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Paul said, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy 3:12-13, "And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We also realize that we all who are living right will suffer persecution. Therefore, when persecution comes our way, we should glorify God because we are alive and we are able to suffer for the cause of His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people question God, not because of persecution, but because of perhaps hard times. But we still need to remember to never question God. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22 say, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be made alive." Hebrews 9:27 says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We learn from these verses then that man caused spiritual death to occur. And later, as a result, man caused physical death to be brought into the world. But by being a faithful Christian, we are made alive. That is what we can learn from those verses. We also learn that it is appointed unto men once to die. So there is no use in questioning God about the heartaches of life, for we should be thankful to God for even creating us, because man brought these heartaches into the world. So, like I said, there's no use in questioning God about the heartaches of life, but we should instead be looking forward to the great life that awaits us if we are faithful to God. God has given us all that we have. Therefore, we should never question Him. For He has told us that we all must die. He hasn't told us how, but He said we all must die. And He's also said that the judgment day is coming, in which those who are alive will be caught up in the air if they're faithful, and those who are dead will be resurrected to be caught up into the air if they died faithful. And He's also said that those who die in sin will go to hell on the judgment day, and those who are found to be in sin on the judgment day will likewise go to hell. We should realize that the devil is always working against man. I think sometimes we underestimate the devil. I think sometimes we don't even think that he is deceiving us when he really is deceiving us. We should never heed to the devil's temptations. I think now that it has clearly been established that if someone says that God does not love them, then they are ignorant of the truth God loves us all, and He has demonstrated that love towards us. Now the question may arise, how has God demonstrated His love toward us? This should be a very simple question for all to answer. There are many ways in which God has demonstrated His love toward us, and I won't attempt to name them all, but just a few, since there are so many ways. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The very fact that we are here today shows us proof of the love of God. He loved us enough to create us. God loved us enough to do that. He not only created us with a physical body, though, but He also created us with a spiritual body, a soul. He also commands husbands and wives in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, to be fruitful and multiply the earth. Therefore, we know that when man is fruitful, when a baby is conceived, that God has created that baby. So God created man, and He continues to create man. God created each and every one of us, all who are in the earth. God also shows His love toward us by supplying us with all of the things that we need in order to stay alive. Now, some of these, examples of the ways that God has demonstrated His love toward us could be used very well in teaching those who know little about God, because you can teach them how God shows His love toward them, such as in personal evangelism and in other ways. When God created this world and us, He supplied us with all of the things that we need in order to stay alive. He has supplied us with the food that we need to eat, because God said in Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." We know that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, we are told, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So we know that man must work in order to be able to eat. God has given us the things wherewith we are all able to live. He is all-knowing. So when He created this world, He created it with all of the things, not just food, wherewith we need in order to be able to live and survive. He has given us oxygen. He's created the plant life to give us oxygen. He's given us the things wherewith we can make clothing, the things wherewith we can have or build shelter, the sunshine, the rain, and many more temporal blessings God has given us. God, therefore, has demonstrated His love toward us in those ways. You can look around the world, and you can look at the clothes you're wearing and realize, you can look at yourself and realize that God has demonstrated His love towards you. God has also demonstrated His love toward us at the cross of Calvary. In Romans 5:8, we read, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The word "commendeth" there means demonstrated. So God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So God has shown His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were away from God, He sent His only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins if we obey the plan of salvation and then live faithful unto Him in order to, of course, have that everlasting home in heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." God sent His Son to provide the way so that we can be reconciled to God. The only way a person can be reconciled to God is by being forgiven of his sins. For when man sins, When man sinned, he separated himself from God. And when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. Therefore, man must seek to be reconciled to God and then live righteously. Now, we must understand that there is no such thing as the original sin, and therefore we are all sinners as a result of the sin of Adam. Adam was a result of his sin, was a sinner. But we are not sinners as a result of Adam's sin. We can become sinners when we sin. Jesus died on the cruel cross of Calvary so that we might have the remission of our sins, not Adam's sin, but our sin. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us because He loves us, and Jesus Christ also loves us. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and read from there. Here we're going to read more about the greatest love there in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through verse 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So we know from these verses that God is love, and that He loves us. We have proof that He loves us, because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. We also have proof that God loves us by the church. Some do not think that being in the church is important, but those who think that way are wrong according to the Bible. In order to become a Christian, we know that you must obey the plan of salvation, which means that you must hear the Word of God according to Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 16:16, repent of your past sins according to 2 Peter 3:9, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to Matthew 10:32, and then be baptized, according to Acts 2:38. You can't leave any of those out. You must do them all. We read in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Also, we read in Acts 2:47 that the church was praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We can also learn from this verse that you do not have to wait till Sunday to be baptized. You do not have to wait until Sunday to repent of your sins. You can do this any day of the week, according to this verse here, Acts 2:47. So the church is very important, because the only way that you can be saved and have the hope of eternal life is by being a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. So let no one deceive you into thinking that the church is not important, because it is very important. You cannot go to heaven without being in the church, and we say that with love. If you're of the age of accountability, you cannot go to heaven without being in the church. When we preach and we teach with love. Paul teaches us that God planned that the church should be built long ago, and that wisdom was hid in God from the beginning of the Word, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. There we read, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are also taught in Acts 20:28 that the church was purchased with the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So the church is very important. The church is so important that God sent His Son to die and shed His blood for it in order to purchase it so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and be added into it. Without the church, no one would have the hope of eternal life. So we should be thankful to God for the church. He has definitely showed His love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to purchase the church with His blood so that we might have the hope of eternal life. God has also shown His love toward us by giving us this book, the Holy Bible. He has given us this book so that we can know and understand how to go to heaven if we study His Word. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." If you want to know the deep things of God, all you have to do is read this book, the greatest book ever, the Holy Bible. If we did not have the Holy Bible, the Word of God, today, we would not know how to be saved and therefore have the hope of eternal life. The love of God is then shown to us by Him sending the Holy Spirit to guide certain people to write the Holy Bible so that we can know how to obey God and have the hope of eternal life. So, it's been well established, God loves us. God hates sin, though, it should be pointed out, according to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. But He loves us all. The truth that God loves people who are in sin gives sinful people comfort, hope, and encouragement to leave sin. The truth that God loves people who are living righteously gives righteous people comfort, hope, and encouragement to continue to live as faithful Christians. The love of God then is clearly shown. Now let us study some of the characteristics of the love of God. The love of God is greater than our love toward Him. Again, we read in 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." 1 John 4:19 says, "We loved Him because He first loved us." The world was very sinful, yet God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of it. We love God because He first loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. And He has shown His love toward us in many other ways, some we have already went over. Therefore, since He first loved us, we love Him. God's love, though, is much greater than our love toward Him. God's ways are greater than man's ways. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is greater than man in all ways, and His love toward us is greater than our love towards Him. He has done more for us than we will ever be able to do for Him. The love of God is also unchangeable. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, verse 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So Jesus Christ does what God does. So as Jesus is always the same, so is God. In John chapter 13, verse 1, we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus' love for his disciples was unchangeable. Jesus says in John 17:21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus and God are one in purpose, they're one in mind. Since Jesus' love is unchangeable, then so is the love of God unchangeable. The love of God is also unfailing. God always loves us. He loves every single person, whether they be faithful Christians, erring Christians, or alien sinners. God, though, hates sin. We as Christians, those who are Christians, must hate sin likewise. In Luke 16:19-23, we read, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." We know from those verses then that those who have died in sin to torment, and that if the earth should remain, those who will die in sin will also go to torment. They are in that waiting place, being in torment before the judgment day, and after the judgment day, they will go to hell to suffer even more forever. There's not going to be a time limit on how long they suffer. The suffering will be for all ages, all eternity. We also know from those verses that those who have died faithful to God have went to Abraham's bosom, a place of happiness. And if the earth should remain, those who will die faithful to God will also go to Abraham's bosom. They are in that waiting place, being in paradise before the judgment day. And after the judgment day, they will go to heaven, there to live in the greatest and happiest place forever. Jesus tells us about the judgment day in Matthew 13:41-43. Let us turn there. Matthew 13:41-43. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." We also read in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, and if you would, let's turn there to 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." So Jesus tells us that when the judgment day comes, those who do not obey God will go to hell, and those who obey God will go to heaven. Think about this, those who have not become Christians at any point in their life, they've never become a Christian. If you're one of those people, realize that when the judgment day shall come, if it should come today or during your lifetime or after your lifetime, that you are going to be separated from your family. If your family are faithful Christians, they're going to go to one place, you're going to go to the other. You're going to suffer, they're going to be happy. If you have little children, think about it. Those who have not reached the age of accountability, they're going to go to heaven. The Bible says this. We've read this from these verses. Think about it. Make your life right today.